Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podcast 160. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing this week?
I'm doing well, man. I was out cutting the grass. I got both riding tractors to work at the same time, Dan. It's an amazing thing in my house.
Yeah. Now, if you could ride them both at the same time, you'd be doing something.
Well, that's where the wife's going to be involved a little more this year.
No,
but
go.
Usually one works, but the other one don't. They're
right.
Both new. I mean, I take good care of them. They're both garage kept. You know, I like to use the older one to bag the leaves and chop up all the junk and use the brand new one to fine-tune everything. But it's just nice that I put two new batteries in them yesterday. It was nice to be outside. I washed my wife's truck. It was a beautiful day to be outside yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I did some yard work, too.
You don't sound as thrilled as I am.
Oh, I hate yard work. It's a waste of time. It's one of those necessary evils, but the older I get, the more I hate it.
Well, that's why when I'm looking forward to moving to Florida, I just want a little piece of – I want something where I can cut the grass in 15 minutes.
Yeah, you know, I'll do better than that. I'll put AstroTurf down and not have to cut it at all. I'll paint concrete green. That'd work for me just fine.
When I used to live down the shore, we used to have stones for our the front yard.
That's perfect. All you got to do is hit it with Roundup once in a while. Keep the weeds out, right?
Absolutely. Like right now, I'm on an acre, and it's a lot of cutting, man.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered. When I was younger and we first bought our house, that was, you know, it was great. This is my house. I can, you know, doing yard work was kind of fun, if you know what I mean. And as the years have gone on, it's just like I just not into it.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying. I got a 42-inch Craftsman tractor. And it takes me an hour and a half to just cut the lawn on the rider.
Right, right.
Yeah, if I'm motoring on 6, I could get it done in an hour. Once I got the season done and half the yards clean, there's no sticks, no nothing to worry about running over.
Right.
An hour, but I enjoyed it yesterday. It was a lot of work. I did the mulch, the whole 9 yards. It was a full 10-hour day out there, but now today I'm kind of pooped.
Yeah, it's just everybody's so busy and you got so much to do. And, you know, to think about that, that's a 10-hour chunk out of your weekend that you could have been doing other things. And yeah, you know what? Next week you're going to do it all over again.
I hear you. They're cutting the grass. But the good thing is I get to listen to all my Disney podcasts.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
That's what I do. I fire up the podcast. I listen to more. Like some people listen more during the winter. I actually listen to more podcasts during the summer because I listen to them while I'm doing yard work, working outside, because I'm not watching the boob tube all the time, you know?
Right, right. So, no, there's a benefit to it, I guess.
So, and I wanted to ask you also, how was your wonderful dinner with your son at Little Prince in New York City?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. We were there probably 4 hours with all the different courses we had and wine pairings, and it happened to be a pleasant evening down there. It wasn't too cold, and we had an outdoor table. So, it was an awesome evening.
And how's your son's better half feeling? Is she getting better?
Oh, yeah. We saw her the next day. She was working on the night we had dinner. But, she's getting around pretty good, limping a little bit. But she's on the mend, and she started going back to work half a day now. So she's working her way back to up to full speed, if you will.
Oh, getting in that Disney World shape.
There you go. Hopefully.
So what was the highlight of the meal? I'm going to put you on the spot, but what was your favorite? You got to have a favorite.
I ended up having the salmon, and it was awesome. Everything was awesome. I mean, we pretty much had everything on the menu between what entrees we had, and he sent out all kinds of appetizers and starters and in between stuff and desserts. And like I said, we were there a good 4.5 hours, and with each course that came out, the front of the house guy, the what
Maitre
did you
d'.
call him? Yeah, there you go. He brought out a bottle of wine and told us all about it and paired it up with the different food offerings. So yeah, it was we were spoiled for sure. And Matt took care of us, and he came out a couple of times to chat for a few minutes. But
Kind of like you knew the chef.
yeah,
So
exactly.
where exactly, give him a quick plug. You got to give your son a plug for free. Exactly, where's the restaurant at?
It's in Soho, Little Prince, and I think it's is it 100 Prince Street, I believe, in Manhattan. So if you're ever down that way, check it out or get a hold of me, and I'll give him a call and let him know you're coming. It's like a French bistro, and it's a nice little place.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you had a good time. It's nice to go visit your son. I know you don't get to see him as much as you would like to.
Yeah, we got to get down there a little more often. And the next day he had off, which was good. So we kind of toured around Manhattan, went to Ground Zero and a couple other places, saw the Statue of Liberty. We didn't go out on the boat, but saw it from the from Manhattan, and did some touristy type things. But we spent a couple hours kind of walking around Lower Manhattan anyways, and spending some time together. And we also ate at another restaurant that the guy that owns Matt's restaurant owns. I forget where it was. I think it was in Soho somewhere. But we had like a late lunch, early dinner there on what would it have been? Sunday afternoon, I think. So that was nice too. It was like a Chinese restaurant, only it was high end. Everything came out and on plates and stuff, and everything was in.
Was it in boxes then?
No, it wasn't. It was on plates. But yeah, that was a nice little place too. And so we
You
ate
remember the
there.
name of it?
No idea. No idea.
Call Little Prince and find out the name of his other restaurant.
I really have no idea. But they took care of us there. And like I said, there were different spins on stuff. I mean, like if you had egg rolls, it wasn't just a plain egg roll. It was something a little bit different and different sauces. And but it was a whole.
Upscale Chinese.
Yeah, it was upscale and a little bit different, or a lot different than the food offerings at Little Prince. A whole different type of food, which was kind of good. So we got, to experience a couple different cuisines, if you will, while we were there. So yeah, it was a good weekend. Good weekend.
Yeah, we had a nice time last night. I banged out some shrimp and scallops on the for my wife. They were good, man.
Nice.
Little wine and horseradish sauce. Have you ever had them like that?
No, can't say that I have.
It's incredible. Good stuff. We ate good last night, a little bit of salmon ourselves, but I'm glad you had a good time with your family in New York City, buddy. Now you just
Yeah.
got to get over to see the couple new Disney plays they have up there.
Oh yeah, we went by him when we were walking around. What did I see? Well, obviously the Lion King. I think Aladdin was playing, if I'm not mistaken.
And Kelsey Grammer's in a new one. Isn't it something to do with pirates or what's the new one? Kelsey Grammer has a new one that I've seen on the news constantly lately. I forget. And he's a pirate. I know that. I forget. It might even be something to do with Pan. I think he's Captain Hook.
Yeah, there's so many down there. I didn't really pay attention because we weren't there long enough to take in a show. But yeah, we went to Central Square, Times Square, and
It's
did the
okay then.
touristy thing. And I just have to laugh. I actually tweeted a couple pictures out. I don't know if you saw them, but it's just amazing. So we come up on Times Square, and those that have been there or that go there
What you
regularly.
do, spot the Disney store immediately?
Well, I did go to the Disney store, but that's an aside to this story. But so we go to down and right in almost like right in front of the Disney store, and there's all these Mickey and Minnie mouses, you know, people dressed up in them, but they get their heads off and they're kind of, you know, because it must be hot in there or whatever, and they're leaning back, you know, their heads are off. And again, I don't know how often you get up into the city, Doug, but it kind of aggravates me because it's obviously not a Disney sanctioned
event.
Character, if you will.
Yeah.
These people are taking pictures with tourists and they're doing it for tips. They all got little tip bags or whatever, and they even had Olaf. They had an Olaf there. I'll tweet a picture out after we record today. And actually, the costume was pretty good. But again, it kind of aggravates me in a way, and that people are making money off of Disney, and you know they're not licensed to do that, and you know.
Well, and if you're going to do it like you're saying, though, the biggest thing is maybe you go inside and don't ruin the whole effect of taking the hat off in front of kids.
Yeah, well, that's just it. They have nothing to do with Disney, so they're not bound to the same standards, and that's the whole problem. And people like that doing that, and that they're not supposed to be doing it. And Disney could shut them down. And I don't know if they. I mean, I've heard stories Disney has shut stores down because they've used their font, or you know, they've called something a similar name, or you know, an exact name is something in Disney. So I know they go after people for that. It's just. You know, I don't know. It kind of irritated me.
There's a local franchise around here that used to throw parties and would do Disney balloons and all that stuff, and apparently they weren't sanctioned, and Disney shut them down. Stopped, not the company didn't shut down, but they had to stop doing all Disney parties without Disney's permission.
Well, you know, yeah, so. No, it's interesting you say that because I went to a book signing yesterday. Bill Burke, the guy that wrote Mouse Junkies, and we're probably going to have him on the show at some point down the road. But anyways, he was doing a a book signing. His third book came out, Mouse Junkies. So anyways, it was up in New Hampshire at the the Atkinson Community Center. So I told him that I'd go. He asked me if I'd go, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I told him that I would. So anyways, I pull in there, and there's these two girls out front. You know, I would probably say high school, maybe freshman or even junior high, maybe. But they got this big sign saying Anna and Elsa are inside. So, yeah, I didn't really think anything of it or whatever. But I go in there, and what it was is exactly what you're saying. It was this, I forget the name of the company, Storybook Parties or something
like
that.
Yeah, that's kind of what this company had name like that, Cinderella Stories or Fantasy Stories and something like that. I know exactly what you're saying.
And, you know, what it was is they had an area set up where these two girls were dressed up as Anna and Elsa. And I got to say that their costumes were pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as costumes go, I mean, they did a good job and they looked fairly good. But again, you know, I highly doubt if they're licensed by Disney to be doing this. I mean, you know, they're making money. Well, in this case, this was a charity thing. So maybe that doesn't fit under the same guidelines. But you know how picky Disney is on how their characters look, how they act.
In a certain way.
Exactly.
There's a standard.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I just have a tough time with this. I mean, everybody's, you know, jumping on this bandwagon, not just Frozen, but, you know, even for Minnie and Mickey Mouse or whatever. And it just never ceases to amaze me that people just steal like that, because that's basically what they're doing. I mean, they're taking somebody else's property and using it for their own financial gain. And, you know, it just doesn't seem right to me.
No, you're right. And it bothers me a little bit, too. It's like, on one hand, you think Disney could afford it, but on the other hand, the reason they do it is because they want to keep a certain standard. And,
right.
And that's why they do it. Like, even with agencies, that's why they earmark the agencies. You can't be an official Disney agency unless you meet their standards.
Right. I mean, anybody could just put Disney, you know, Walt Disney World on their sign and say, you know, we're experts or whatever. And you might not even have ever been to Disney World or know anything about it. And, you know, it's good that they have standards, because that way when you talk to somebody, in all likelihood, they're going to be knowledgeable and help you get the best deal that you can, because you've had the training or passed the test that they have for you to be earmarked.
Well, 100% go out and by Mouse Junkies. It's a good book. Did you pick up a copy
Oh
yesterday?
yeah, I did. Actually, there was a long line there, and I couldn't really get to talk to Bill too much. But yeah, I got it. I'll send you down a copy when I have a chance here, so you can look at it. It may be at I didn't even ask him. I'm assuming it's out on Amazon, and it might be in Barnes and Noble. I don't know, but I'll find out from you and let you know, and I'll let our listeners know when we record next time or on next week's show, so that if they want to pick that up, they can. And like I said, he did say he'd do the show, so we'll have him on in a couple of weeks, and he can tell you all about it.
It sounds good. And you didn't big time them, say, "You guys don't know who I am. I'm Dennis from
Right.
WDW Main Street. Step aside."
And I gave him one of our cards, so yeah, he was impressed with that.
There you go, buddy. So you want to get to a little around the world news?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot going on this week, but a couple things. The Epcot's Chase meet and greet to continue at Innovations West. As we all know, they're going to be closing down and basically booting out everything that's in there. But the Chase Lounge is going to stay, which is a good thing, because I think a lot of those people that partake in that or use the lounge were thinking that maybe that was gonna go away. But at least for right now, it's going to stick around. What is it? April 29th, everything else is going away. And they say, at least in this article that I'm looking at, that definitely other stuff is going in there, which I had not heard that. I just heard that it was closing down without any comment at all. But I guess they're saying that something's going to go in there. So that'll be exciting to see what they come up with and what actually goes in that space.
Have you ever gone into one of these?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I
the lounges?
yeah, the Disney Chase one. I have a Disney Chase Visa, and I forget it every single time I'm down there.
Yeah, I went in the one that they had one year before last, either at the Flower and Garden or Food and Wine, and they had it at the Festival Center. You could go in there, and it's not as big a deal now because most people have backup batteries for their phones and stuff. But back then, even a couple of years ago, it was a big deal to be able to find a plug to recharge your phone. So they had like these charging stations or plugs available, and that was popular for that reason. People would go in and have a glass of wine or a coffee or whatever, and just kind of sit down and relax and charge up their phone for an hour or so. So they were popular then. And there's another one, I think, at the American Adventure, right? Isn't there a lounge up there on the second floor? I don't know if it's Chase, but I believe there's a lounge there as well.
Yeah, there is. I just always forget to use them. Every time I'm down there, I have my card, I have my Disney Visa Chase, and I don't get it. I forget to use it. So.
Well, I mean, again, if you go down in the summer, it is nice. They're nice and air conditioned, and a good way to get away from the crowds a bit. And I don't know. I mean, I don't really seek them out. I mean, it has to be something I'm thinking about. You're right. It's not something that pops into my head. Hey, let's go to the Chase Lounge, you know?
My
But
point is, if it goes away, I'm not really going to miss it because I
yeah,
forget it
yeah.
every time.
Right. Well,
It is
again.
nice that they offer something for free. You just forget about it. It's just like my buddy who's my buddy Bill, who's gone down quite a bit. He's another contractor.
Right.
He's friends with somebody that works for Siemens. So he's got into the Siemens lounge inside of Spaceship Earth.
Right,
And that's
right.
one of the things he always teases me with, saying that he's been in there and I haven't. Yeah, and he has pictures of it. Told me all about it. He was
Right.
kind of he was having fun trying to make me jealous of the Siemens lounge.
Now, can he bring guests in if you happen to be with him? Can you
Yeah, well,
go with
that's
him?
Bill was with the guy that works for Siemens.
Oh,
You
okay.
can bring your
Yeah.
whole party in, just as long as
Got
one
you.
of you's work for them.
Got you.
And they have food and drinks and different things in there, and it's pretty cool. He said you could see out of the ball in the Epcot from it.
Cool.
There's viewing points that you don't really notice they're there.
Yeah, I would have never known that. I mean, when you look at it, I don't notice anything different, but maybe there's two-way glass or something like that, and some of them, obviously, to see out, right? It'd have to
Yeah,
be
he
something
said you
like
could
that.
look out over the fountain and stuff like that. Unless he
That's
was
cool.
pulling my leg, I haven't been in there to be telling him he's wrong. So, you know what I mean?
Right. And it'd be cool too if you can look into the attraction and see some of the vehicles go by or one of the scenes. I mean, if you can look out, you'd think you'd be able to look in. in too. But yeah, we'll have to put some feelers out and see if any of our listeners have experienced this, or somebody may have experienced it. I'd love to hear more about it. That'd be cool.
Exactly. Yeah, he said there's all kind of TVs in there. I mean, it's a really nice lounge from what he said. And I believe him on that part. He don't have no reason to lie, but
right,
he might have been like a little bit off the beaten path trying to tease me that you can see things that weren't there. I don't know if I trust him. He ain't the most
right.
He's a very honest person, but he likes to pull your leg, if you follow me. So
right. Well, we'll
take
everything we just said with a grain of salt. And like I said, if you know something about this, drop us an email or something, or tweet us, and we'll be happy to talk to you about it.
Yeah, we need to do a little CSI.
Yeah. Let's see. Be Our Guest restaurant breakfast test extended into late summer. So we covered this last week's show, that, or maybe the week before, about Be Our Guest and these quirky reservation things that they have. So I guess this latest form of ADRs, if you will, this breakfast test, is going to be extended to late summer. So those of you that are going or might be going, you'll be able to partake in this. And good luck to you.
Yeah, I know you're going to be booking your breakfast 60 days in advance then.
Yeah. Actually, I guess it would be a good place to say this. It is news, disappointing news, but my 180-day window opened the other day, and I actually forgot about it. I didn't do anything first thing in the morning, but I got on when I got home from work, probably about 5:30 or so on my 180th day to make ADRs. Boathouse is totally booked up the whole week we're there. I couldn't
believe
it.
Oh, my goodness.
Could not believe it. Not a reservation to be had. I went through all 7 days, 8 nights or whatever, and cannot get a reservation. So I'm kind of disappointed about that.
That's sad. And speaking on that, Deb's page did a really good restaurant review on it. There's a video on YouTube you can watch. You can go through her site, allears.net. The food really looks good there. They had rave reviews about it. I was hoping to, we'll have to keep calling for you, both of us, to see if we can get a cancellation and get you in.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That was my plan. I'm going to keep trying and calling and see if I can come up with something. I mean, as big as that place is, the three big dining halls or whatever they have, I'm dumbfounded. And with the price, I mean, everybody's been complaining about how pricey it is, but yet here we are 177 days away and you can't get a reservation for dinner. So
did you call the cellier?
Yeah, right. They're wide open. You can get right in there. But I'm disappointed because we were really looking forward to that. But, you know, I'm not going to let it ruin my trip. If we can't get in, we can't get in. And what I didn't do, I did not try for lunch or anything like that. I guess as a fallback position, I could try to get a lunch or a
– Oh, I love a late lunch.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, like a shoulder time. You're right. Maybe try 2:30, 3 o'clock or something like that, and either a late lunch or an early dinner, however you want to look at it. But – kind of bummed about that.
Well, what I usually do on them days is, and not to be to tell you how to plan, but I'm going to anyway. What I usually do when I do it, because we've done a Le Cellier quite a few times on that 3:30, 4 o'clock meal. Mm-hmm. The day we usually do that is we do the crack of dawn. We get our day started off early.
Right. Then you're ready for a dinner earlier in the day.
Yeah, we'll do an park opening, rope drop, something like that. Get in the park early, have a nice breakfast.
Right.
And then have like a snack around 11 o'clock, you know what I'm saying? And then that gets us through to dinner. Then we'll go back to the resort around 2 o'clock, get showers, the whole nine yards, and then go back for a nice dinner. And that, it kind of changes the day up a little bit. And it works out. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, the way I structured my week, I mean, we're going down during food and wine. So we spend 2 full days in Epcot and excuse me, maybe even another evening on top of that. But I did not book ADRs for the Epcot days for obvious reasons. We're going to be, you know, around World Showcase, eating at the kiosk and stuff. So there's really no need for it. To me, it's a waste. I mean, mm-hmm. you're nibbling on food all day long as it is. And to sit down and have a big meal on top of that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So when you back out the two Epcot days, and, you know, I kind of structured the week, you know, a day at the studios, a day at the Animal Kingdom, you know, it only left a few other days to, you know, for a downtown Disney day. So I only had a couple real days that we could realistically get to the boathouse. But what I would do is I would totally restructure my week if I'm able to get an ADR. In other words, I'm going to try for any of the 8 nights. And if I end up snagging one or getting one even, you know, the mid-afternoon like you spoke of, I'll just redo my days and swap a day out or do what I got to do to make it work.
Had to break out the sheets and reorganize everything, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we Disney planners / geeks do. But, you know, I really wanted to make that a focal point of the trip, eating there. And like I said on the last week's show, Morimoto should be open by then. They're saying midsummer.
Well, you better get on there right away.
Well, that's what I've learned from this experience. I better, you know, at 12:01 Eastern Standard Time, as soon as my 180 days clicks in, I better be on the phone. Well, I guess you can't be on the phone. I'd have to wait till 7 in the morning. But you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to really
be on that app.
Be on the app or on the phone or both and try to snag one because I just had the feeling, like I said, where people were kind of yammering about the cost and the fact that it was so big and I was 180 days out. I'm really shocked that there's nothing available. Now,
well, I think the whole thing now, Dan, too, is not to go against you or anything. I think it is too. You're right with the money and all, but I think right now everything going on at Disney Springs, it's becoming I think more people want to see Disney Springs in the studios right now.
Yeah, I
there's
mean,
more going on down there because nobody, all the new restaurants, the new architecture, all the new buildings, the whole new design down there, it's like a brand new park opening up.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. That all the buzz in the Disney community now seems to be centered around Disney Springs. There's something opening up every other day, and so yeah, I kind of get that.
Because the cars are kind of like a ride,
right?
Amphibious cars. You got things going
absolutely
on down there.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, shame on me. I should have known better. I just, you know, if you would have bet me, you know, a week before. I mean, I don't think you would have taken that bet that I'd have a hard time getting a reservation at 180 days.
I just think you're a little off your game. You've been a little depressed since you got back from your last trip, Dan. You just want to be there. You got to get back in that high tension mode now to get yourself down there.
Yeah, well, every day I'm a day closer to getting back there, so that makes it better, I guess.
Yeah, I got to get mine scheduled, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, there you go. All right, moving along here, the Dark Side Margarita Bar opened up at the Marketplace that was being refurbed, and we mentioned that on the last show, too. I think it was just ready to open up, but it actually has opened up, and looking at some pictures here, it's pretty nice. They have tables, chairs, overstuffed chairs outside on the water, and looks like they have a couple different bars there and a walk-up window, so that's going to be a great addition. Well, it's not really an addition. I mean, it used to be a margarita bar, I believe, but they redid the whole thing and obviously added more waterfront presence to it, which that seems to be a theme here with the boathouse and everything else that's opening up there. They're really utilizing the water side feature, and that's a good thing because it's beautiful down there.
I plan on cooling off there many days in the future.
Yeah.
Well, worst case scenario, Dan, you can have a couple margaritas watching everybody go into the boathouse.
yeah, exactly. Well, actually, as a backup, based on I think we were talking about this, if memory serves me right, I ended up booking at Fulton's because I hadn't been there many years. So I figured, well, if I'm going to not be able to spend big money over at the boathouse, I can spend big money at Fulton's. So if it doesn't work out, we'll end up eating there. And like I said, it's been several years since we've been there, and I do want to get back there. So that's what I did. I booked at Fulton's.
Regardless, we're going to have great dining reviews from you. We always do.
Absolutely.
Every time we go, we talk about food the entire week. In my opinion, there's not many places you can go wrong.
Oh, no. There's plenty. It's just, you know, it's new, and everybody wants to try it, and that's all people have been talking about is the boathouse. So, I'm not giving up hope yet. Like I said, you know, who knows? Maybe they're holding back a certain amount of reservations or something where it just opened. Who knows? Maybe there's a method to their madness and they're going to release some, or they didn't want to.
You're right, because a lot of restaurants, I'm not being smart saying Disney needs to do this, but they might just be doing it so people like us talk about how hard it is to get in. It's creating a buzz.
Yeah, we talked about that. I think you brought up the example of the clubs in New York.
Exactly.
They pay people to stand in line to create a false sense of buzz, if you will. But I'm like I said, I'm disappointed, but I don't think I'm out of the game yet. I think
we'll get you in, Dan. That's our goal. The WDW Main Street Boathouse dining reservation is in effect.
All right, I'm putting American Tourist Travel on the case. So.
There you go, buddy.
All right, what else do we got here? Yeah, an update to the Pirates of the Caribbean refurbishment. It was going to start fairly soon. May 11th it was going to start, but they've pushed it back to June. So I don't know if that's just a scheduling conflict or they're doing less or more work, or I don't know if that will mean that it extends further into the fall, but the dates have been basically changed from May to June now.
Kind of sounds like a parts delay, on my opinion.
Yeah.
Something they ordered is not going to be in for a couple extra weeks, so they might as well just leave the ride open.
Yeah, I mean, that happens in construction, as you know. Some of these things have a long lead time, and people don't realize, oh, what do you mean I can't get that carpet, or I can't get this or that or the other thing? And, well, sorry, they're in production at the factory, and you got to get in line with everyone else. And sometimes it takes, I've seen 8, 10, 12 weeks for some items to come in.
Well, my customers seem to act like everything in the world is built in New Jersey. Shipping has no effect on it. I mean,
right.
The reason they're telling you 4 to 6 weeks is because they have no clue either when we order it.
Right.
Because if it's coming in from Chicago and there's a major snowstorm, it could be delayed. There's a good possibility. Or if it's coming up from Florida and there's a hurricane,
right,
there might be a problem. Yeah, everybody seems to think it's all sitting in the local store and I can just go on the shelf and grab it whenever I want.
Yeah, I mean, people do kind of get used to Home Depot. You just walk in and grab stuff off the shelf. But anything to do with custom work or stuff like that, or even if you're ordering online or from a catalog or something, a lot of places, and it's smart business, they don't stock all that stuff. They'll only put it into production if somebody orders it. So, and like I said, a lot of the popular stuff, you know, there might be 20, 30 other orders in front of you. So they're going to produce that stuff. And when your number comes up, it's like being at the deli, you know, you got to wait until they call your number before they even make it or whatever. So you're right. People don't understand that. And a lot of times that's what holds up construction is materials, you know, roof, whatever it is. I mean, it's
100%.
Pretty amazing.
100%. That's most of the problem. Or when you go to tear something apart, you find something else, and they act like you put it there.
Right.
Yeah, I made that rot. I'm sorry. When you weren't looking, I waved my magic hammer and rotted out the wood behind this wall that I couldn't see until I tore the wall apart. What do you want from me? I'll put the wall back over it. I mean, I do care, and this is the reason I'm telling you, but what do you expect me to do? And when you find stuff like that, that's the problems we have. They act like you're creating work. I have enough work where I don't need to create any.
Right. No, I hear you. It's you know.
Speaking of refurbishment, did you see how beautiful the Great Movie Ride looks?
Yeah, I did. I was looking at the pictures, and they have a new – the patina on the roof now looks like it's a greenish color. It really looks awesome. And that was one of the things when they were taking down the hat that people were kind of grumbling about. And I have to admit, too, when I saw it when I was down there, it did look dingy. It looks like they pretty much didn't do anything to it for all the years that it was hidden. And
they weren't given any money to fix it.
Yeah.
Listen, Ricky, now we're fixing up the Great Movie Ride, too, on top of everything else.
Well, that's a good thing, because that tells me that it's likely staying, which we had heard to the contrary earlier in the year that, you know, it might be going away as part of this whole revamp of the studios. So the fact they're fixing it, although I suppose they could change the attraction out and keep the Chinese theater there as the icon or whatever, but that's all good to me that they're fixing that up, because that is a beautiful area all in front there with the, you know, the handprints and all the different things from the movie stars. And, you know, that's going to be a nice little courtyard again when it's all said and done.
100%, especially when they when Turner Classic Movies took over, I kind of knew it wasn't going anywhere. I was almost sure it wasn't. I mean, Disney,
Right.
you never know, but I was almost sure it wasn't. It's nice to see them taking care of that again. But like we both said before that they were hiding it because of problems with the owners of the building.
Right,
And
right.
Grauman's with all that. Now I think that everybody's back on board again. There's money flowing, so let's fix it. But my point with Joker Ricky, this is another thing on 47 square miles that they have to take care of.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful facade there, and it's all good. I mean, like you said, I'm glad they're doing it and giving it some tender love and care that's much needed.
Yeah, and speaking of Be Our Guest, did you see they had a really good show? And I know probably everybody listens to us, listens to them anyway, but in case we have a few people that actually like us more, go over to their show. They had a show this week on technology at Walt Disney World, and they were talking about their favorite apps and stuff like that. It was a really good show. It was interesting. It was something different, and it was funny because, like, Pam has an app that tells you when the washers are being used on the resort. If you're staying at the beach club, you can look at this app, and it will tell you exactly what machines are being used. Is that crazy?
Yeah, I was chuckling about that when they were talking about that. I think Mike made the comment, like, how did you even search that? I mean, what would make you think of that, or that there was even an app for that? And I think Pam had responded that she's on a bunch of different boards, and it came up as a discussion topic, right? And that's how somebody told her that this app exists. But, yeah, that's pretty wild that you could, be anywhere on property and you could see if there is any washer machines available at the quiet pool at Oak Manor at Riverside or something like that. And actually, if you do use the machines there, that would be helpful information.
Absolutely. I mean, just something else that you wouldn't know unless – knuckleheads like us are talking about.
Right. No, I mean, that was a great show. In
yes,
fact, I'm
going
to go back and listen to it because I was driving at the time and I couldn't write it down. But there were four or five apps that they mentioned, and I don't recall what they were.
There was
now,
a couple weather apps, couple photo apps. That Mike had a really good one. I forget the name of it, so go listen to the show. That it automatically goes, if you hook your email to any of the photos, it automatically, as soon as you take that picture, it sends the photo to the person. And he made a good point. He puts it, when he's at Disney World, he has his personal email hooked up on it. In case he loses his phone or whatever, all his pictures that he had already taken are going to his email.
Right, right. Yeah. It's a nice
backup.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There were like five apps that I said, I'm definitely going to get these. And most of them were free. I mean, a couple of them might have been a couple of bucks, but none of these that they talked about were, budget busters, if you will.
A weather app that tells if it's going to rain in an hour. So, yeah, go listen to our friends at the show. And Ricky knows we love her. I just kid because I care.
Right. Yeah, actually, and I don't know if you used to ever listen to this show, but it kind of made me think of a throwback to Betamouse when they used to do their podcast, and they were a technology podcast, and they used to talk about not just apps, but, cell phones and cameras and different things. But
it was a good show.
Yeah, Henry Work, who was kind of the head of the podcast.
He got recruited to Disney, didn't he?
Exactly. He had to... He is working for Disney right now, and once he did that, I think he had to sign a disclosure statement that he wouldn't talk about anything, so that made it so that he couldn't do the show anymore, which is too bad because that podcast was definitely much needed for somebody like me because technology and me don't mix, and they were able to talk me through some things and all the different shows they did that were helpful to me. So I'm really bummed and was bummed out when they went off the air. But anyways, to kind of tie it back in, that's kind of what that show on Be Our Guest reminded me of, that, they didn't just talk about a singular app, but they talked about, like you said, Doug, the 15 or 20 apps. I think they all put forward four or five apps that they either use or like or whatever. And like I said, there's five that they mentioned for sure that I said, man, I wish I was writing these down because I want to get them. So I'm going to go give it another listen and actually write them down and get those apps because they seemed that they would be of value to me anyways.
Well, they'd be a value to all of our listeners because anybody listening to us is Disney nut, and all of them pertain to something with Disney World. So,
right, right. So good job. Yeah, good job to the Be Our Guest crew. They did a great job on that show.
Do you have any more news, my friend?
Yeah, just a couple quick things. The Kiki Tiki Splash Play Area is now open at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. And this is one of those play areas that we've seen go in, like over at the Grand Floridian. I believe that's a Alice in Wonderland themed, you know, splash area. And it's the kind of area where they have, you know, they have little water
shoots
and
out and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
For the kids. And they also
cooling
have.
Cooling station.
Yeah, well, it's even more than that. They actually have the. Oh, what do I want to say? Like the spongy
that you walk on
deck.
It.
Yeah, yeah, for the little, you know, 2, 3, 4 year olds or whatever. Little water areas and the tiki squirt water, like you said, and it looks pretty awesome. So this is over on the other side of the Grog's Grotto, or the outside seating area of Grog's Grotto. So another great addition to the Poly, and it's another area that's open, which we've been making this point week after week. Things continue to open up at a rapid pace over there. And like I said, I would think in the next, you know, handful of weeks, they should be fully opened and all the walls down, and the Poly will be back to being its visual, beautiful resort that it once was, or even better now.
I bet you can't wait to get back down there to see it when you go down in the fall.
Oh, I can't wait. I you know, like you always say, and most of the people I talked to, I was even talking to Bill yesterday at the book signing, and, you know, I know more people that have never stayed at the Poly, myself included, that spend more time there on an average vacation. I mean, most people I know at least eat dinner there once, if not twice, and they like to roam around and go to the Tambu Lounge or just take in the ambiance of the Polynesian Village Resort. And with all these new features and the Grog Grotto and everything, it's even more reason to go over there.
It's the most complained about resort that people stay at to get mad that everybody else comes and crowds it up.
Yeah, right.
You'll hear everybody that does stay there for weeks complain it. Everybody comes to the resort and wants to roam around, and it's my resort. I'm the one paying for it. No, you're not. Even though I'm at Riverside, I'm still allowed. Nanner, nanner, nanner.
Right.
You know?
I think this is one of the places, I could be wrong, but I don't think you can pool hop here. I think it's kind of like the beach club where you got to have a wristband or something. That's the only thing you can't do. But you can definitely go on the beach, at least the way it is right now.
You can pay to eat there.
Yeah. You can watch the fireworks. You can watch the light parade there.
Yeah, the water pageant.
Yeah, you can watch that, and you got the docks down to the left where you can see that from, which it seems like you could throw a stone from where you are to the water pageant, so it's a great, great viewing area. And I know they show movies on the beach there, or at least they used to before.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they will again, because almost every resort's doing that now.
Yeah, I mean, but I agree with you, Doc. I mean, you know, I've never heard anybody openly complain.
I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What were you doing? Were you,
I wasn't doing nothing.
Were you sprawled out in the lobby or something?
No, I've just heard, like, because of the water pageant and the fireworks, people complaining that everybody can't be staying here that's watching the fireworks here.
Oh.
You know, stuff like that. You know, you always have that one Catty Cathy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's whining that she's been privileged, or he has his whole life, and is upset because somebody else is trying to have a little bit of fun too, you know.
Well, like we said before, Disney kind of promotes its resorts, and they have that open. They want you to go to the resorts. So if they didn't, they wouldn't have a monorail stop there coming from the Contemporary or from the Magic Kingdom. They'd say you can't get off here, right?
Yeah, not all of us, no matter how hard we work, can afford to stay at the Grand Floridian. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We could do it, but we'd be paying for it for the next 30 years.
Right. Yeah, that's too bad that you had to listen to that crap, because, you know, Disney World's for everybody. And you know, I guess I get the pool, like at the beach club and the yacht club. If you didn't have any restriction on that.
It isn't big enough to have everybody come over to it. But
you'd have 1,000 people.
I understand that. I wouldn't want everybody in the beach club. I wouldn't want it either. It's just because that's what I love about Riverside, the quiet pools.
Right.
Yeah, I like to be alone. Yeah, I don't. I'll give up and go to the regular pool with no slider, no nothing, just to chill and relax and swim and cool off, compared to having the 80 people at the main pool.
No, I totally agree. Over the years, that's exactly what we've done. And usually it's you're by yourself or maybe a couple other families, and it's just so peaceful. Even at Saratoga Springs, we do the same thing. We go to the quiet pools, and generally speaking, there's hardly nobody there, and you can enjoy the afternoon and, you know, cool off and just get some quiet time, if you will.
Because me, I've been pretty lucky. Probably the last 10, 15 visits, I've had a pool within viewing distance off my room, because that's usually what I get the pool view.
Right.
You know, we don't use, because I get as far away from the resort as possible, so we're all the way in the back usually, and we'll have one of the quiet pools next to us, and that's heaven to me. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So is that it for the news or anything else?
Just one last thing, and I know we're going long here with the news. I apologize. But Disney files plans for new flex space theater at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And basically what this is a new construction project along Sunset Boulevard. And it's where they had the Darth Maul for the Star Wars weekends. It's between Rock and Roller Coaster and the Tower of Terror. If you can envision that space between those two attractions. They're going to have this flex theater space, and it's just speculation. We don't know if this is kind of a temporary thing, or some people were speculating that the Frozen show, or maybe even one of the other shows, the Beauty and the Beast show, may move there while they do some renovations to the studios. So we'll have to keep an eye on this to see what actually goes in there. But they have filed plans to put a new a theater in that area.
Yeah, I'm sure it has something to do with construction, because they're probably going to block off that whole back area. I'm waiting to get the announcement that Light Motor Action's closing.
Oh, yeah. Anything I can do to help that, I'll definitely participate.
See, I like it, but I get what you're saying. It's good for kids. I just, you know, again, I say it all the time. I just don't understand what this. The only complaint about that entire thing is I don't know what Disney was thinking with putting them aluminum bleachers down in Florida. I mean, they're always on the cutting edge. They're smart. They're intelligent. What the heck made them make human frying pans for people back there?
The only thing I can think of is it's cheap. And I might have mentioned this way back on an earlier podcast, but I'll mention it again. I know you love football, Doug, but the original, they used to call it Sullivan Stadium, where the Patriots played up here, that's the kind of seating they put in, because they built the whole facility before Gillette Stadium was, obviously this was years ago when the Patriots were first come into the league or whatever, but that's the seating. It wasn't backed chairs or singular seats.
Nope.
It was all bench seating. And I can't tell you how many games I went to in that stadium where, you know, it's kind of like sitting in the Nemo attraction. You're just hard, and, you know, when it's 20 degrees below zero and you're at a football game, I mean, it was cold,
you're freezing.
Hard. Bad enough you're outside in the elements, but you'd almost need back surgery when you get out of the game after sitting there for 3+ hours for the game, and then, of course, you don't just walk in and the game starts. You're there for an hour before the game. It was just brutal, those seats, and those are exactly what the seats at the Lights Motors Act reminds me of, which is why I hate it, I think, because I have bad memories from the
flashbacks.
Yeah, going to the Patriots games years ago.
Well, you're right. It's the same way Dover International Speedway has the same. I got the worst sunburn. I used to go out on boats every weekend running, because I told the stories of getting my stepfather's boat ready to go out every week, because he'd come back from the truck. I used to go out on the boat every weekend. I got the worst sunburn of my life sitting on them aluminum bleacher seats at Dover International. So it almost burnt the skin off my legs. And it's the same thing there. I don't know what they were thinking. Like, why didn't they put in like a material, like a plastic or something like that don't absorb the heat or reflect the heat? It's like, you're on a tanning board.
Yeah, or in my, like I said, in the cold, it absorbs the cold. I mean, it's just the worst part. You know, it conducts whatever temperature.
Yeah, exactly.
And then some.
It's a human conductor. It's horrible. I don't get what Disney was thinking. That's the only thing. I like everything else about it. I guess because I've gone with my godsons, my brother,
right.
My brother-in-law. It's kind of a guy thing. You know, Tim the Tool Man Tower,
right.
Watching cars blow up, you know, the whole nine yards. I enjoy the show.
Yeah, and I think that's part of why I don't like it too, because I've said this before, and I apologize to any of our listeners that are NASCAR fans, but I don't like NASCAR. I know you watch it,
I'm a
Doug, or
car
you
guy.
enjoy it. Yeah, so I'm not a car guy, so I think that's part of it. Although I will say that the first time we saw it, I thought it was a unique show, and it was definitely full of surprises that I enjoyed as an attraction. And I've seen it, probably 6 or 8 times over the years, I'd say. And I just liked it a little bit less, each time that I went because of the seating, and all of the what's going to happen. So to me, it lost some of its luster. But I mean, again, saying that, I mean, you could say the same thing about Pirates or anything
Yeah,
else. I mean,
it's
that, you know,
what you enjoy. The thing that I
yeah.
enjoy the most about it is it's live, and the intensity of that. One of those cycles or one of those cars could crash at any given time.
Right.
It's amazing. Or they could just be something as stupid as it stalls right in the middle of the attraction. It's
Right.
amazing that the work that goes into it. Or have you ever seen a tire blow out or anything ever go wrong on that attraction?
I can't say that I have.
And I've seen it probably twice as many times as you. That's the thing that totally impresses me about it. It's a live show. Anything could go wrong. And for them to pull that off with a car, you know how I can't get my I started the show off. I can't get my mowers to run every week, let alone 10 times a day, every day for 365 days a year.
Right,
That's what
right.
impresses me about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. It's not for everyone. I mean, if I definitely heard it was closing, whenever or whatever, I'd probably go see it one last time. I really would. But again, that's one of those attractions too. Although at the studios, you're generally looking for something to do, it takes up a fair chunk of time because, as you know, it takes quite a while for that stadium to load. You got to walk all the way down the end of the park, and then you got to wait till it fills up. And what would you say? It's definitely well over an hour, right? More
Yeah,
than that
probably. It
from
feels
start.
like it anyway. It's just one of those
Yeah.
things where I wish they'd had an overhang. I think they couldn't have. And the reason I say this is, and I know nothing. I do construction, but I know nothing. I always say I don't understand why they didn't have it like the whole top overhung. But I kind of think that it has to be open air because they don't want anybody getting carbon monoxide poison or anything.
Yeah, that could be. And
I'm thinking because the flames, everything like that, you can't have a cloud be inside. I think they need it to stay open. So there's probably some kind of law that if that roof came extended all the way out to cover all the seats, that
right.
the fumes could possibly get caught inside there. That's all I could think of is the reason why they didn't do it.
Yeah, it may be, but
It's just a
anyways,
bummer.
you either
On a
love it or
cloudy
hate
day, cloudy, cool day, and you'll love the show.
Right.
Well,
All
we're gonna,
right. That,
you
yeah,
ready
that's
to
good.
hop in?
Yeah, no, that's it for news, and I guess we'll get on to our topic today.
Yeah, we're going to do a little bit of our show, our game. It's the first thing you think of. We're going to
Okay.
finish this episode up with that, where
Okay.
me and Dennis just surprise each other with a word or a sentence, and we have to respond with the first thing that comes to our mind. And neither of us know what we're going to ask each other before we do this.
Well, if it goes in, if it's the form like the last couple of shows, we'll have picked the same ones.
For the restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we roll, Dan.
Okay. Who's
Yeah,
going first?
we're brothers from another mother. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? You're going. I'm going to ask you first.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm putting on my thinking cap.
Okay, this is my first one. What do you think of when I say retired attraction?
Retired attraction. Oh boy. The first thing to come into my mind was Body Wars over at Epcot. We talked about that a couple shows ago, but that's one that although I don't particularly like it, I have a vivid memory of it
You
being
have
on it.
nightmares of it, right?
Yeah, well, being queasy, I should say. And that was the attraction where you were injected into a human body and kind of went around and they taught you something about the human
Anatomy.
body and anatomy and all that stuff. And but it was one of those simulator rides similar to Star Tours, and just the motion of the vehicle and the way that it worked, it did make quite a few people queasy, including myself. So I went on that once, and that was it. But retired attractions, that's definitely the first thing that came to my mind.
Our listeners know that's a ride or an event or whatever the heck you want to call it that I never, ever, ever did. My poor wife did. got very, very sick. It ruined the day almost. So Body Wars is glad to be gone. No more wars with that. The thing that I would think of with that is what made me think to ask you that is, I always wish I would have seen If You Had Wings. And I never got to see that ride, and my wife sings the song to this day. When me, her, and her mom are riding down to Disney World, out of nowhere, the two of them will go, "If you had wings," and they'll start singing it together. And it's just one of those rides that was sponsored by Eastern Airlines. It was in Tomorrowland that I wish I would have seen. It closed in 1989, so...
Yeah, I mean, same thing. I never saw it as well, but I kind of like the song. It is kind of catchy, and I hear it on Magical Mouse Radio all the time. And, yeah, I kind of wish I had seen that because it does seem like it would have been a cool attraction, I should say.
Yeah, I've seen different things on YouTube and stuff like that to kind of get the idea of what it was. And my wife still remembers. She has somewhere, I think she has a pin that she got when she was on there, when they had some of the cast member gave her from that ride. Because remember, she always talks about, too, when she was a little girl, she flew back to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And when she used to fly on a plane, a lot of times the flight attendants would give little kids wings.
Oh, cool.
So they did the same thing on that attraction when she was a little girl, because she was down in 75, 76 when she was on it.
Right.
And she still remembers it from then. So that's what made me think to ask you that question, Dan.
No, that was a good one. That was a good one. All right. One for you. What do you think of when I say water feature?
Water feature. The first thing that came to my mind, but I don't know if it's a water feature, is the dragon inside Port Orleans French Quarter, inside the pool.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that qualifies.
The way he squirts in the ride and all that. That's the first thing that comes to my mind when you say water feature.
No, it's what it is. The first thing that comes to your mind. So there's no wrong answer here. That's a great one.
Have you ever hung over there? I mean, have you ever gone in that pool?
Yeah, we never swam in it, but we've been over there quite a bit. We, staying at Riverside all the time. We've taken parts of days and walked over there. And, of course, we all talk about the beignets there. And, so to answer your question, they have I think they have alligators around there, and it's that whole Mardi Gras theme. And
absolutely. It's a beautiful pool area.
Yeah, and actually, if you don't go there, if you take the boat to downtown Disney, there's a stop at Port Orleans French Quarter, and you can actually see that dragon right from the Sarsaparilla too.
Yeah, dragon, serpent, whatever he is.
Yeah, whatever
but
he is.
He's really cool, but that's the first thing that came to my mind, buddy. What were you thinking of? You asked a question.
I would have thought of the fountains at Epcot, the water fountains there outside of Mouse Gear.
Yeah, the musical ones.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's why it's generic. You can go in 100 different directions, and you went to a place I would have never thought of in a million years, but it definitely qualifies as a water feature.
Absolutely.
It's in the water, and it's a feature.
It features a sea serpent.
There you go.
To continue on the little theme I have going here, it's not a theme, but part two of this.
All right.
Should be retired.
Should be retired. Ah. I could be – I won't do it. That would be too easy to say lights, motors, actions. But should be retired. Let's see. That's a tough one.
You don't have to be political.
No. I guess I'll say this one because it's probably going to happen and it'll make you happy. I'll say Captain EO over in Epcot. But again, I don't think – well, I guess it is official, right? We've heard that it's not coming back after the Tomorrowland preview.
Well,
that's happening now.
We heard the Podfather say this. I haven't heard it officially come from Disney, but I heard it from the Podfather, Lou Mangiello.
Well, that's probably as official as you're going to get.
I think it might
Disney.
Even be more official at this point, because Disney likes to tease us all the time. At least when Lou says it, he don't ever criticize the mouse, which I don't blame him for. It's what we love Lou for, because he's Mr. Positive.
Right.
And
right.
It would be weird to have. Wouldn't it be weird to listen to a Lou show and he'd be all mean and nasty?
Yeah, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah,
like
he should do.
Somebody got in his brain and he just went off.
He should do one episode. As Lou Jekyll, like maybe on a, I should be his producer. Maybe next year on April Fool's Day, Lou should do an episode where all he does is go off the entire show. I think it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah. That would be great. I mean, I don't know if he'd do it, but that would certainly, I'll bet you he'd get the most downloads ever because people would just be so shocked at that.
Your jaw would drop.
Yeah, exactly.
There'd be iPhones dropping everywhere in shock. But I just think I'm going to get a hold of him and tell him that. That's what he should do.
That is a great idea. All right, let's see here.
Oh, Mayan, real quick. Yeah. I'm going to go a little negative here, and I think Mission Space should be retired.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we kind of covered that, that it's, you know, although it's an e-attraction and they dumped a bunch of money into it.
I don't think it does the amount of people that it should for what it was designed to do. That was designed to be a park eater, a people eater.
Yeah, and it just doesn't get the guests going through it, that's for sure. But
I never see a wait time really there for that, do you? I think they, Disney, don't be mad at me for this, but I honestly believe that they pump up the wait time on that ride because every time I've been there with somebody that wants to go on it, and whatever time it says, they're off in half the time more than what normally Disney pumps up their rides. I know they always make their rides little more than what they are and you get off sooner. I honestly believe that they make that one seem longer than what, a lot longer than any other one just because of trying to make it seem more popular.
Yeah, I mean, I never even look at the wait time. I just ignore everything about it. But the times that I have looked, I mean, to me, it's always 10 minutes. I mean, even in the busiest times, maybe it is more and I just don't pay attention. But seems to me that if you like that attraction and want to get on it, you can pretty much walk on it anytime. But I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't come to be what it should have been, in my opinion.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, before Soarin', I mean, they expected that attraction to kind of carry Future World at Epcot. I mean, it was, you know, going to be an iconic attraction. And we talked about this too. I mean, the outside of the building is beautiful. I mean, it's got the galaxy thing there and Mars in the middle. And I mean, it is a beautiful looking attraction, you know, and everything about it. And again, I didn't do this, shame on me, but you said to go in through the gifts, in through the outdoor, if you will, so I could see some of the inside. But I got to believe the inside is beautifully themed and the actual ride audio, if you will, or the background loop. I mean, that's pretty cool, too. So everything about it except for the attraction itself is, done up to the nines, if you will.
Well, I just brought up my touring plan lines. Yep. And here's a perfect example. Today, right now, Soarin' is 75 minutes. Test Track is 45 minutes. And Mission Space is green is 10 and orange is 15.
Right. So to me, that's walk-on. I mean, 10 or 15 minutes is essentially walk-on,
it is.
Right?
I mean, Sum of All Thrills is 25 minutes. Spaceship Earth is 14 minutes. Now, and Spaceship Earth is never ending. I mean, there's been more lines with Spaceship Earth since this new Fast Pass has started than ever before. But it's still never unbearable. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And that's one of the downfalls of FastPass Plus because now you have to, where you can only have Soarin' or Test Track on any given day, you have to pick two other attractions. And unfortunately, Spaceship Earth, to me, has longer lines than it ever has. I mean, you used to see it at 5 minutes regularly, except for first thing in the morning. And now, you know, you usually never see it below 15 minutes or so, I believe, because of FastPass Plus.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crime when Spaceship Earth has the same weight as Mission Space.
Yeah.
I mean, and nothing against, because we both love Spaceship Earth, but the way that's designed, it's like Haunted Mansion where it's continuously loading. So you never expect to wait for that, even though it probably does twice as many people on Spaceship Earth, if not more, than what Mission Space does every single day because the amount of people that ride can handle.
Right.
But an e-ride like that, I bet you if I went through touring plans on every other e-ride, Soarin', Test Track, Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, Kilimanjaro, I bet you if we did every single one, they'd all be double of what Mission Space is. And the amount of money and the technology that's in that, it should load more ride. It should be more crowded than what it is.
No, I you know, and again, we talked about this. I certainly believe that it's word of mouth that has done that attraction in, because we, you know, people that have either gotten sick on it or know somebody that's gotten sick or turned on the radio, the TV, and saw that, you know, there was a fatality at that attraction or whatever, that's in their mind. And I don't care, you know, they could be giving away $10 bills when you get off the attraction. There are people that just will not go on it for those reasons. They don't want to feel queasy or don't want to experience that, and they're just not going to go on it no matter what Disney does. So they're fighting a battle I don't think they can win, because unless they change it or do something else, and to me it would be difficult to do because the building is so unique to the attraction that,
I mean,
you
it's
know,
a gorgeous building. The facade is beautiful. Everything about it is nice. It's just I've done it where I can literally complain about it. It's mm-hmm. it's awesome, but it's not as much as it's supposed to be. It's not as good as what it should be. I think the technology on Soarin's better.
Right.
You feel more like you're flying on Soarin' than you do that, in my opinion.
Really? Well, I can't talk to that because I've never gone on it. But so you're saying the simulation, if you will, is not you don't get as much of a feeling as gliding or flying like you do on Soaring.
No, this is just me, and I'll probably get texts and tweets and emails at me. And I feel bad for people like Mike Rahman. Again, we're going to promote Be Our Guest, but they're our friends. I feel bad for people like him who loves the whole space program. He's all about that, and I know he loves that ride because of it, you know, because he loves NASA and the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for all the space groupies, you know, the space geeks.
Right.
But it isn't what it should have been, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you. That's, you know, it's not something I do, so I can't say a whole lot about it other than I'm just not interested in that attraction.
Well, hit me with your next one.
Okay. All right, this one's kind of off the wall, but go with me here. What do you think of when I say nook and cranny?
Nook and cranny, I don't know if this is considered, but the first thing that came to my mind is, you know where the Christmas shop is?
Christmas tree, Christmas.
Christmas shop in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Right across from Sleepy Hollow, right?
Yeah, you go out the back door, there's that little sitting area back behind there that not many people go to. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Would that be considered a nook and cranny to you?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like me and Brenda go back there to hide quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's an area. There's shade back there, and you got this. I think there's a couple of benches, but if not, there's a little wall. You can sit there and cool off on a hot day. And
hardly anybody, nobody's ever back there. Me and Brenda grab a drink and a snack, and we go through the Christmas shop, and we go back there and hide for 15, 20 minutes just to cool our jets.
Right. I think I mentioned this before, too, but the day we found out that we were accepted, or they, you know, our loan had been approved, I should say, more accurately, for DVC, that's exactly where we were when
cool.
we got the call.
Yeah, you did mention that before, but that's cool. But, yeah, that's our nook and cranny.
Yep.
Where's yours?
I was actually thinking about on Main Street, the little dead end there on the right after you go by the candy store there, to the right where they give where you can hear the girl taking singing lessons up in the window there.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, they got a bunch of but there's two or three tables and chairs back there, and if you grab something from the candy store, whatever, you can get off the beaten path. It's really quiet, and like I said, they got that ambient background music where you can hear a young girl getting singing lessons, and it's just pretty cool. If you listen to that whole loop, you know, it's just like you're in your own little world there, and that's a nook and cranny for me anyways.
Absolutely. It's a good one. It's something you just told somebody about that don't know the singers usually, that wouldn't even know that she's there if they didn't walk down there.
Right, and if you go down there, you can actually, in one of the windows, it says, I think, singing lessons, call this number, or something like that. So it all ties in. If you read the sign, then listen to the background loop or music that's playing, you know, it has that whole ambiance about it. And it actually is a real good nook and cranny, I believe. And again, we always say this, people tend to get into the Magic Kingdom and they basically run up Main Street to get to one of the, I was going to say Tower of Terror, Spaceship Earth, what do you call it? Oh, what is that one in Tomorrowland, the roller coaster?
The Space Mountain.
Yeah, they were all running to get to Space Mountain or Splash Mountain or
Oh,
something like that
absolutely.
and miss something like that, which I highly recommend that you take the time and just take it in because it's a little awesome nook and cranny.
There you go. Here's my next one, and this is going to really make you think for a minute. What's your favorite building on property?
My favorite building on property, I would say the fire station. Even though architecturally it's not the most beautiful, but the reason is that the fire station in Disneyland is where Walt's candle is, or lamp in the window, I should more accurately say. And although the building's a little bit different in Walt Disney World, it's basically the same, and it's in the same location as it is in Disneyland. So because that's kind of, where Walt's apartment was in Disneyland and all that, I have an affinity for the fire station at Disney World.
Well, mine's right next to it, really, is the train station.
Okay.
That whole facade of that train station, it just blows me away every time. It's like the first thing I want to see when I get to the park. As soon as I see that, and I'm always looking forward to see what kind of landscaping they have going on out front there, aren't you?
Yeah, because it changes so many times during
the
year.
It sets the theme for the day, in my opinion.
Right.
It's going to run through the entire park, whatever's out there at the train station.
Yeah. If you go in October, it's generally a lot of orange and, fall type
and
colors.
Flowers and
at Christmas, it's got the red and, you're right, Doug. I never really thought about it like that. But the Mickey head, if you will, that's right on the lawn there, right out front of the train station. It always looks pristine, obviously. And you're right. I never really even thought about it in those terms, but you probably, if you went five times a year, it wouldn't be the same any of
nope.
the five times.
No, nope, it just sets the mood. You know what you're going to get through the park, what flowers, what planters.
Right.
It all starts with there. I say that's the beginning. It's the first chapter of the story. When you walk up to the train station, it starts the first chapter. You read that. You look at everything. You watch the train. I mean, the whole building's gorgeous. Everything on it. And then you go around. I got to stop and look backwards at it. And then I like to go up and get on it if the rest of the crew wants to.
Right.
But it's just – and then when you leave, it's the final chapter. Every time you walk out, it's the end of a beautiful day at the Magic Kingdom.
Absolutely. It is a beautiful, opening of front, I should say, of the park. And as you know, they're always they have the photo pass photographer out there, yeah. And that's probably one of the most popular places to take pictures of any place in Disney World. I mean, there's a couple others I can think of that are up there, but almost everybody that comes to Walt Disney World will stop there, and if not using photo pass, certainly take a picture with their own camera.
Yeah. But I usually take, and that's what I do every trip, I take a picture on the way in,
yeah.
And I take a picture on the way out, because it's the beginning and the end of every day, and it's a beautiful picture to have. And there's just something about that whole building. I love everything about it. With the flag ceremonies going on and all, you always had the pictures of that. It's in probably half my pictures. Either you're shooting the castle or you're shooting the other way.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. My next one for you, and again, this is going to give you a wide berth, but what do you think? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say window?
Ooh, window. the crazy part is, and I hate to say it is our last trip. Remember I told you we were outside the American Adventure and there was a window open upstairs and the guy was working at a desk?
Yeah, I do remember that.
I still want to know what he was doing. But that window and all the facade windows around World Showcase, like the beauty, the way they do the make the building smaller as they go up to give it that effect, the 3D,
yep.
Yeah, the forced perspective.
Yep.
That's what I think of when you say windows, the way they design them to make everything seem bigger than what it actually is.
Yeah, I mean, that's, that's part of the beauty of Disney World. And those of us that study up on history or read the books about, how the Imagineers designed it, that's a part of it. But, as we all know, the windows play a big role in the Disney parks, and that they
they'd help tell the story.
Yeah, I mean, if you read the windows, a lot of them are dedicated to former Imagineers or Disney legends. In Disneyland, there's a lot of the original people that helped to build the park. But I know Walt's dad has a window, and there's just all these people in Disney history that are commemorated on these windows. And a lot of times, it isn't abundantly clear. Like it might say, Acme Construction Company, and you just look at it quick, and you, well, what's that? But if you do a little research, you find out that Joe Blow, whoever it was, owned Acme Construction Company, and they were integral in building the park or something like that. So
Absolutely. They
there's
do a,
always,
they have a lot
yeah.
of hidden memories around them. And what I like about it too is that if you go up and if you are, and I'll mention Rosencrown in England and I'll mention France, if you go around, all the windows are actually made to the period of those buildings. So you'll have cloudy windows. They did an amazing job on how they did the fine tuning of all these buildings to make them so look period correct. Do you agree with me on that? You know what
Oh
I'm talking about with that?
yeah.
You'll go up and you'll think there's actually still lead in the glass, but there isn't.
Yeah, I mean, there's stained glass, there's all kinds of detail on the windows that and again, these are things that you'd just blow by normally, but if you take the time to look at them, you're right, Doug. They're, if not original reproductions of what windows would have looked back in that looked like back in that time period. So you're absolutely right. Even, the restaurant windows are, particularly over there in the United Kingdom Pavilion, you have different buildings from different time periods, so they're all different, and they go with the architecture of the particular building that they're in. So that's a great example.
Well, my next one for you, we'll do two more, Dan, because we're starting to run long here.
Okay.
For you, your best cue.
My best cue, my
Or
favorite
your
cue.
favorite cue.
Let's see, favorite cue. I'm gonna say Pirates. I like that cue. It can get a bit boring in places, but they have the cannons in there, and I particularly like the two pirates that are playing chess in there. And again, as the story goes, if you know anything about chess, that they're in eternal checkmate, if you will. So that's why they're there, and they're only skeletons because neither of them can make a move. At least that's the story I heard, the way the Imagineers laid the chessboard out. So that's a little Disney history there. But yeah, I like the Pirates cue. It's dark. They got the not the chandeliers, but the what do
The
you call them?
lanterns.
Yeah, the lanterns on the wall and stuff like that. Kind of, it sets the mood, and you got the background loop playing, and it gets you kind of ready for the attraction you're going to experience. So my first thing that come to my mind for best cue for me is Pirates.
Well, the crazy part is this is going to be the first time that was actually my favorite for this. A lot of the same reasons, but it was also the first cue that. When I was with my wife in '97, that was the ride that, besides the beauty of the park, walking down Main Street, the whole nine yards,
Right.
we did It's a Small World first because she wanted to see that because, when she was a little girl, she remembered it. But
Right.
then we went on Pirates, and Pirates is what actually made me drink the Kool-Aid. It was love at first sight when I hit Pirates. And it's just the memories of the coolness of going in there from the heat outside and the whole atmosphere and the whole thing about it is what made me love Disney. I'm saying to myself, they could have just had a regular movie theater line here and they didn't
Right.
have to do all this, but all the extra effort. It was like I started the ride the minute I walked into that queue. It
Yeah,
wasn't getting on the boat, it was walking in the doors there.
and it's got that musty
Oh.
smell, and yeah, it's just, you're right. It's just, that's classic Disney, and and you're right, the building and the facade and all of the brickwork, and it's pr and a pretty elaborate queue line for sure. And like I said, there's not a whole lot going on
There's
in
not
it.
interactive stuff, but
Right.
it fits it so well. It's a beautiful cue, and it has so many memories. Now the cheat, if I did a Lou, my modern one, and everybody knows this from listening to the past 10 shows, is the Toy Story Mania one.
Okay, I thought you were going to say the Expedition Everest. You always rave about that one too.
Well, the queue is better than the ride. I could get off right after the queue, in my opinion. Yay, I went up to, I did a roller coaster. Ha ha ha. there needs to be more to see. You can't.
Right.
But
Right.
The point is, like, Toy Story Mania, and I've said it 100 times, is it just because all the childhood memories that it brings back and all the conversation that that ride provokes.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, that's a good cue too. A lot went into that, and you know, we did say this. That's one of those cues where if you go on the ride multiple times, you're able to see something you didn't see the time before.
Mr. Potato Head alone is so awesome.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've actually seen him because the line, well, because of FastPass Plus, and that's your point, I guess, in general, that on a lot of these e-attractions, which tend to have elaborate queues, you don't get to see them because you're kind of just in the line and you're quickly shuffled off onto the attraction, which is a good thing for not having to wait, but it's a bad thing in that you miss out on a lot of these amazing cues.
If anything's under 30 minutes, I'm not doing Fast Pass most of the time.
Right.
Or if I have a Fast Pass for the ride, I'll do both because I want to see the queue. I love the new queue on Test Track.
Right, right.
I think it's awesome. I mean, it's cool. I like to see that stuff. I'm a geek. I built my car with my two girls. I'm sitting there with two beautiful women building a car. How cool was that? My last trip.
Right, right.
You know, watching the kids with their father build a car and then come out afterwards and race it. I know not everybody does it. You hear the fuddy-duddies whine about it.
Right.
But it's a good thing. It's a new thing. I like the old queue. I miss Felicia Rashad, or not, what's his face? Not Felicia Rashad. That's from Dinosaurs. She's incredible. But remember the old guy that used to do the Test Track one? He's been in a million movies.
Right. I can't think of his name.
But
I know what you mean.
When he's doing 4, 7, 9, telling you the ones. I love that movie.
Right.
But I'm also happy with the new version of it.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea. But again, I think that goes back to my, I don't really get in the cars. I'm not a gearhead, so I just, that means nothing to me, but that's just my personal
But
preference.
If you have FastPass, you miss all that, is my point. You should see all this. The same thing with Dinosaurs. It's awesome to see all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big T-Rex there in the main lobby and all that stuff is pretty cool to see, especially if it's the first time you go on. And that's, you know, for a first timer going to Disney World, it's almost, they shouldn't be allowed to use FastPass Plus. Not because I don't want them to get on, but they should experience the full, you know.
A lot of the queues.
Queues, yeah, exactly. And a lot of them don't. And, you know,
that's
a shame. You
can use FastPass on Soarin'. You can use FastPass on Soarin'.
Yeah, that queue's amazing.
or you can also use it on Space Mountain.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why they put the interactive game in there, trying to do anything for you. What's your next one, buddy?
We're getting
killing on time here, but we're enjoying ourselves.
One more each, is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
All right. My last one for you then is going to be, what do you think of, what's the first thing you think of when I say lasers?
Lasers?
Lasers.
I guess, and it's weird, but I think about Spaceship Earth with the lights going up and down as you're going into it.
All right, that's a great one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what came to my mind, and then second came Illuminations.
That's what I was thinking when I came up with this, Illuminations. Or I even thought of, I guess technically it's not a laser, but even in Buzz Lightyear over in Tomorrowland.
Absolutely, it makes the laser sound.
Yeah, so any of them would have worked. But, yeah, I think Illuminations, I mean, the laser show that goes along with the fireworks and all that, that's a great use of lasers, in my view.
Oh, it's beautiful. For some reason, though, the lights going when you're descending on Spaceship Earth came to my mind for some reason. But then right away, Illuminations came, and the laser show in Illuminations is incredible. The other one, I guess you could call them, there's lasers, too, in Fantasmic in some parts.
Yeah, less so, but I would agree.
And what about Star Tours?
Star Tours. Yeah, I guess lasers.
For the lightsaber?
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely lasers.
Yeah, there you go.
So we covered a bunch of lasers. All right, last one. What do you got for me?
I'm going to say a quick one. Beer.
Oh, that's a beer.
Beer. Yeah. What's the first thing comes to your mind when I say beer?
The first thing that popped into my mind was beer flight at the... at the smokehouse in the America Pavilion. This is during Food and Wine Flower and Garden. They offer, not just there, but all around the promenade, they offer these beer flights, which are four-ounce servings of four of the beers that they offer at a particular kiosk. And that's a great way to sample different beers that you maybe don't want to, you know, spend a full $6, $7, $8, whatever it is for a beer now at Walt Disney World. You know, you can try some different ones, and if you're with somebody, they can also, you know, partake or try some of these, and it might help you decide what you want to invest your money in for your full 12-ounce beer later on.
That's a good one. It's a very good one. I have multiple beer stories, but my favorite one is I love grabbing my Canadian Molson from Canada, ice cold.
Yep.
Sitting down and watching Luminations. It don't get much better than that, then.
No. I that's a great one. I've had a few of those Molsons over the years. And you're right. The beer there always does seem to be cold, or colder, I should say. And another one, one that I can think of, and I found these, although I've heard of them before, I'd never had one. But if you go into the Rose and Crown, they have a black and tan, they call it, which I think is a, now I'm not going to remember it, a Bass Ale and one other beer that's more of a stout. It's, you know, dark or black, if you will. And they put, you know, an equal serving of each beer in the glass, and it kind of settles out so that it looks like it's too colored. And
black and tan?
Black and tan, there you go. Yeah. So they have that, and I think they have a snake bite, which is something altogether
different. Speaks for itself.
Yeah, exactly. But a black and tan is pretty good. It's beer, and it's a mixture of two beers, which is pretty good.
The other thing comes to my mind is also Peroni over in the Italian Pavilion. I never had Peroni until we sat down for dinner one night in Italy. And a couple of me and my buddies do these fantasy baseball and fantasy basketball deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We do the fantasy football. We've had the same league for 23 years now, but or 24. This will be our 24th season. But the baseball and football, I mean baseball and basketball, we just do as friendly. So
right.
What we do is a case of beer. There's three of us. It's me, my godson, and one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
We all do a friendly case of beer for the winner. So the two losers pitch in and buy the case of choice.
Okay.
And Peroni was one of mine for a few years that I would use because I really enjoyed it down there, and it was something different to tell them to make them to go look for.
Right.
Go get me some Peroni.
Yeah, I thought you were going to tell us your Tony Montana story again.
No, a Cuban beer downtown at Gloria Estefan's. That's
right.
Another good one. It was a good Cuban beer. I just can't remember the name of it, so I didn't tell that story. So, Doogie, you like Cuban beer. I get you Cuban beer. If not, I bring you Coors Light. And I did like the Cuban beer.
There you go.
So
That's the great thing about going to Disney World and trying some of these different you know, beers or food items. Yeah.
The Greek beer I had at Spice Road Tables was really good. I had five or six different beers. I get every trip I have a beer or two that I've never had before usually, at least one.
That's awesome, and that's the fun of doing it, because in real life you probably would never do that, or you know, if you went out to dinner or something, you probably stick with your Coors Light or whatever you tend to drink and be done with it. But when you're at Walt Disney World, at least I tend to be more adventurous when I'm trying different things.
Yeah, because you're not there to get drunk. You're there just to try stuff.
Exactly.
If you don't like it, you throw it out and move on. It's vacation.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's happened too, I got to say. I mean, not everything you try you're going to love. And, you know, you hate to throw stuff away, but nobody's going to force you to drink it. It's not like you're at 50s prime time and they're going to make you drink it.
Absolutely. Like, I love the margaritas in Epcot. My wife don't. But the crazy part is three or four times it took. Remember we told you the two or three try thing?
Right.
Multiple times we've walked by there in the summer heat or warm day, and she looks, that looks so good. We'll go get one. Who ends up drinking it all May?
Oh, that works out well for you.
Oh, I ain't hating, Dan. I'm not hating. So, you got anything else to say to our wonderful listeners?
No, just thanks for listening, and, you know, we enjoyed doing the show for you, and I'll say it this week, if you could go over to iTunes and leave us a review, we would really appreciate it. Where our listenership is growing, and with help from you giving us reviews, it'll help us go higher up in the rankings there, and more people will be able to find us. So if you could be so kind to leave us a review, we would really appreciate it.
And please check out our sponsors. Head over to our website, you know, WDW Main Street Memories, and we'd really appreciate it. And everybody have a safe and wonderful and magical week.
All right, Doug, we'll see you next week.
Talk to you soon, buddy. Bye-bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.